Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
And this is his petition to God. Hide my face from my sins. Blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew in me a right spirit. But here is the crux of the prayer, verse 11. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. The Bible said that Adam and Eve, after they had sinned, fled from the presence of God. Ladies and gentlemen, the antidote, the cure, the healing for everything is the presence of Almighty God. Cast me not away from thy presence. And when you study particularly the Old Testament, it is a quest of man to be in God's presence. It's Moses saying, God, show me thy face. It's Jacob wrestling with an angel on the mountainside to be in the presence of God. But when Jesus Christ came, he not only bought our soul and brought salvation to us, he called himself the door. The door to what? The door to the presence of God. Before Christ came, we were barred from the presence of God because a sinful person in the presence of God dies just like that. God has to kill sin, and God has to kill the carrier of sin, or he would pervert judgment. He would pervert his own righteousness. The soul that sinneth shall die. And so God has to kill sin and the carrier of sin. And so when Christ came, it was for the purpose not only of redeeming us, but preparing us that we could come in the presence of the Lord. God told Moses, if I was to show you my presence, you would die. You simply could not stand it. But when Christ came, he did not destroy the law. He fulfilled the law. God does not see you as a saved sinner. He sees you as the righteousness because Christ paid the price. He bought it. Which one of you would give a gift to his son or his daughter? And then after they'd had it for a while, somebody came and tried to claim that they would be paid for it. It would be an embarrassment to you. Friend, I want to tell you, Christ has paid the price. Christ has paid the price for our sins. And for us not to understand that would be an embarrassment to Almighty God. The difference between us and many Christians, we know what the presence of the living God is. The two greatest threats of the Bible is, my spirit will not always strive with man, and I have withdrawn my spirit, and you knew it not. Friend, it is a tremendous privilege when you can discern the presence of God. As a Christian for most of my life, I am familiar with God's presence and God's spirit. I know when it's prevalent and when it's not. But I have never, ever become trivial about it because God's spirit and God's presence is the greatest thing in the world. The writer would say, it's not by power and it's not by might, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Friend, that's the reason when we come to God, he tells us there's two ways that we can entertain his presence. One way is to praise him, and he said, I will inhabit your praise. To bring God's presence down, you need to learn to be a praiser. That's the reason why David was able to live beyond all of his faults, his failures, and his sins, was he praised God seven times a day. Even after he had committed these terrible sins, he did not flee from the presence of God. He praised Almighty God. And God's presence came in to adorn him. When God's presence comes in, it transforms you and changes you. That's the reason why a church service should not be a formal ceremony. It should be a place where praise is performed. It should be a place where tears flow. It should be a place where applause breaks out. It should be a place where people celebrate what Christ has done for them. And so David was a man after God's own heart because he could praise God until God's presence would manifest. But there's another way that we don't talk about so much that brings in the presence of God. And the Bible said, come boldly to the throne of grace. Come boldly to the throne of grace. He is touched with the feeling of our infirmity. Friend, when you realize you've got a problem, when you realize you have failed, when you realize that you do not measure up, when you realize you have missed the mark, that's not a time to flee from God's presence, but it is a time to entertain God's presence. Touch God with the feeling of your infirmity. And friend, I don't know how acquainted you are with the presence of the Holy Spirit, but I join with the psalmist David every day of my life. Take not thy holy presence from me, God. It is your Spirit that has brought me. The Bible said, no man come to Jesus unless the Father draw him. And the Father there is the Spirit. Even coming to Christ is because the Holy Spirit has drawn you. I'm always appalled when I preach and people are totally unmoved. But it's very seldom that I preach that somebody is not moved. Why is that? Because there's somebody that is always susceptible to the drawing power of the Holy Spirit of God. God's Spirit moves through an audience, and he talks to those people that are in need, and he tries to draw them into him, because in his presence is fullness. Ladies and gentlemen, we cannot be a dead, dry congregation of observers. We must be God's bride. We must be God's wife. We must be God's people. We must be affectionate toward God. We must be laughing in his presence, rejoicing in his person. We must magnify him. Let this place be alive with our salute to God, because more than anything, God, we want your Spirit to move among us. Ladies and gentlemen, America is in real trouble. We have to have a revival for America to come back. Changing inhabitants of the White House serves no purpose unless God does a work. It's by God's Holy Spirit. In the Bible, there's a tremendous story about the river that began in the house of the tabernacle of God, and it flowed out from beneath the tabernacle door, and it flowed out into the streets. And everywhere that Spirit went, everything it touched lived. Ladies and gentlemen, the only hope for America is a revival of the presence of the living God. It's not going to start in the White House or the schoolhouse. It's not going to start in Congress, and it's surely not going to happen in Nashville or Hollywood. It's going to start in the house of God. We can't do it by might, and we can't do it by power. We can't do it by sermons and song. We can't do it by program pep and people. We have to have a move of the Holy Spirit. And ladies and gentlemen, God is eager to manifest his presence in our midst. God wants to walk among us in the cool of the day, in the evening time. It's evening time now, and God is wanting a place where he can inhabit the presence of his people. God wants to send his Holy Spirit, and we can be that people. This place needs to be enlivened with the Holy Spirit. You can't buy enough television time to revive a city. You can't do enough billboards to save a state. The only hope for America is the presence of the living God. You say, I don't know what to do. Friend, I'm going to tell you the two passports into God's presence is prayer and praise. Become a prayer warrior. Become a praise addict and begin to magnify the Lord for all he has done. Do you realize how God saved you? How far God has brought you? Do you understand that God has protected you to this very hour? Do you understand that you're safe in the Father's hand? If you realize what redemption is and salvation that has come to your house is, it will make you a true prayer warrior and a true praiser. And if you become a prayer warrior and a praiser, you will realize that God's presence is in our midst. You know, in the Old Testament, people were barred from the presence of God because they were imperfect. If they had certain physical abnormalities, they were not allowed to come into God's house. If they were crippled in their limbs, if they were injured in their sexual organs, if they had a flat nose, they could not come into the temple. But there's a wonderful story in the third chapter of the book of Acts about the man that was lame from his mother's womb, and he was laid at the gate beautiful. I want to tell you, good works will bring you to the door of the church, but good works will not bring you to the altar. It's only God's Spirit that draws you to the altar. And here was this man lame from his mother's womb, ready to accept silver and gold or whatever alms that could be afforded him. But when John and Peter came there, Peter recognized that it was needful that the power of the living God manifest to this man. I am aware that it's not just going to be Christianity defined. It's not going to be a philosophy or a sermon. What we need in America is the Shekinah glory of God, the power of the living God, the Holy Spirit to move among us. And it is my prayer every day. God said, I'm going to pour out my Spirit. That tells me that without measure, God is going to send His presence. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. Rise up and walk in the name of Jesus Christ. And the Bible said the man went walking and leaping and praising God in the temple. Why is that significant? Because of his crippled condition, he had only been to the door of the church, but he was never allowed in the church. But when God's presence came in, it cured his lameness and invited him into the presence of Almighty God. God is saying to every man and woman, no matter who they are. I think about Diddy, been in prison now for 10 months. We just see it on the news and we forget about it. You said, oh, he lived a terrible lifestyle, but he was made in the image of God. The only hope for him is the presence of God. The only hope for your neighbor is the presence of God. The only hope for your children is the presence of God. And you and I are the key to the presence of God in America. We must say, God, we are thirsty for your Spirit. We are hungry for your love. We want a manifestation of God's presence to be in your house and in your country and in your nation in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God will change it all by His Spirit. I've preached so many places to so many diverse audiences. I've preached to great crowds. I've preached to 20 and 30,000 people live, every one of them filled with the Holy Ghost. That's an exhilarating experience. I've preached to millions on television. Jim Baker used to say to me, Steve, there's 17 million people going to watch you when you preach today on television. He'd always say that just before we went out. So we've preached to a lot of them. I don't know how this happened. I can't even remember how it happened. But I was in New York, and they'd asked me to preach in Long Island. And I didn't know what kind of a meeting I was at. And when I got to the auditorium, there were 3,000 people there. And none of them Spirit-filled. It was a total secular audience. And I was there by myself. I didn't have pastors with me. I didn't have altar workers with me. And I began to preach to those. They were mostly college students. I began to preach to that 2,000 or 3,000 people. And I felt so all alone. I'm used to having a support team, used to having other pastors, used to having Holy Ghost filled altar workers. I looked around, I was all by myself. And I began to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I began to preach about the power of the Holy Spirit. And it was a remarkable presence of God that came on me. And God anointed me so much. A significant anointing for that moment and that time. And there was a secular audience. They didn't know anything about prayer. They didn't know anything about praising God. They didn't know anything about speaking in tongues. They didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. But the Bible said it this way: while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell. in that great hall in Long Island as I was preaching, and I was so alone, and suddenly I realized I was not alone. As the Bible said, one came and stood alongside me, and I could feel the anointing of Christ. And all of a sudden, I felt the presence of God just begin to come on me, and it began to flow from me. And as it flowed from me, I could see it begin to affect people in the front row, and it began to sweep out through that audience. And I saw people that had never been in a gospel meeting in their life begin to stand to their feet and raise their hands like they were old-fashioned Holy Ghost-filled people. And I watched as hundreds of people were baptized in the Holy Ghost without an altar call. The presence of the living God changed the dynamics of that place in a split second. You say, all hope is gone. Oh, no, it's not. I tell you that God's presence can do more in 5 seconds than we can do in 5 years. Don't give up on your kids. Don't give up on your family. Don't give up on your church. Don't give up on your city. Don't give up on your school. Don't give up on your city. Don't give up on your nation. Lift up Jesus. And he said, if I am lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Ladies and gentlemen, we are the catalyst for the presence of God coming to San Antonio. And we're going to change this city with the love of God. Holy Spirit, flow through me, flow out of this building. God has not placed this onto the strategic location to be on San Antonio's busiest freeway. God has brought us to the kingdom of God for such a time as this. You say, I don't know how. You don't have to know how. Do you know who? I don't know how, but I know who. And his name is Jesus. He is able. 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 Shitataroma koroba halalaboria. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is able to do it. A young man stood in the building, sat in the building next door when I was preaching, about 7 rows from the front. And while I was preaching, all of a sudden he stood up and looked around the crowd and said, go ahead and tell him my name, preacher. You've told everything else about me. I'd never seen him before in my life, but the Holy Spirit was speaking to him. Friend, I'm going to tell you, nobody is beyond the realm of the arm of the Holy Spirit. I'm not discouraged. I'm not disheartened. I know that God is going to do a great work. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, we are on the verge of suddenly. We're on the verge of suddenly. It's about to happen in your family. It's about to happen in your life. It's about to happen in our church. Stand on your feet and give God praise today. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I was preaching on the Riverwalk in San Antonio. I was on the little theater they have across the river. I was preaching. And all of a sudden, I could see across the river a man beautifully attired with a drink in his hand. I mean, just, you could tell what he was. Just a man of lots of money. I found out who he was later. But I was preaching, he was walking along the Riverwalk. God was the last thing on his mind. He was in San Antonio to party. But I saw him with a crowd up. He stopped and turned to watch me a while. I saw him take a drink, his alcohol. And then I saw that alcohol glass, it was a glass, just drop from his hands and break on the concrete. And I saw his hands go up. And I'm on the other side of the river, and I watch God fill that lawyer with the power of the Holy Spirit. Nobody touched him. I was in contact with him for years. He was from Columbus, Ohio, just vacation in San Antonio. And he would call me and write me and say, Pastor Steve, I'm in church. I found me a church up here. He knew nothing about God, but just God's Spirit just reached across that Riverwalk and plucked him out. and saved him and filled him with the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit lies like the wind. It bloweth where it listeth. You can't control it. The agnostic can't stop it. The atheist can't censor it. It's available to whosoever will. God is not through. He's just getting started. The last days before Christ comes is going to be a harvest like nothing you can imagine. And all God is asking you to do is just pray and worship me. Just worship me, no matter what's going. Be like David. Don't let your past have anything to do with your future. Just praise God 7 times a day. Praise him in your church. Praise him in your home. Praise him in your car. Praise him on your job. Something's getting ready to happen. As T.D. Jakes likes to say, get ready, get ready, get ready. Something is about to happen. And I believe something's about to happen in this building right now. There's somebody in this building that needs a deliverance. There's somebody that needs a miracle. There's somebody that needs a healing. There's somebody that needs salvation. If I was in this building.